Okay. So this is part two of a talk that I started last Sunday called Hell in the Hallway. And it's about looking at what can be a common experience, and that is being in the in-between. And especially when we have no choice in the matter. In other words, life circumstances cause us to be in some kind of in-between, some kind of transition. A door has closed in our life, and we're sort of waiting for the next door to open. Anybody in that kind of experience right now? Anybody? Okay. Know of anybody in that experience? So guess what? Our country is in that kind of experience. Our ministry is in that kind of experience. And the many people in our church are in this kind of experience. And there are different kinds of ways in which we can be in the experience of being in the hallway. The kinds of things that move us into that experience are relationship endings, life circumstances, loss of job, or illness, or we are with someone who's in there making their transition to their next life. So there's all kinds of ways in which we can be in the experience of being in the in-between. And it's important for us to be able to value and make sacred these particular moments in our life, because it enables us to do a depth of work that when everything's going great and we're living oblivious to any sense of not things not being okay, it's a place where we can do the deeper work. When we're feeling good about things, we're not motivated to do the deeper work. So we want to begin with reestablishing the context for this conversation. Before we can talk about the dynamics of how we can leverage being in the in-between, we need to understand an overarching principle, and that is, right now, already, we have been gifted with an abundant life. Jesus said, "I am come that ye might have life, and that you might have it abundantly." This has already been given to us. The fact of the matter is, if we are not experiencing what would equate as to our interpretation that I am now in my abundant life experience, if we're not experiencing that, then there's some block that we're putting into life that is an obstacle to that abundant life experience. And we acknowledged last Sunday, that those obstacles are our own limiting beliefs. And so whenever we are inadvertently operating from a belief that's not the truth, or a belief that's limiting, we create a life experience that is eclipsing the abundant life that is already ours. In other words, we put in God's way an obstacle, and that is we believe ourselves less than. Can you imagine having the abundant life already given, and if you have a belief that you're less than okay, how that's in the way of your experience of abundance? Can you see how that's so? So if we can see that what's in the way of an experience of greater abundance, whatever that means to us, let us just say that the abundant life on some fundamental felt sense or level, that at least means that all of our needs are met. And could we not, in the felt experience of knowing that all of our needs met, see that we have a greater level of peace and a greater level of empowerment, a greater level of being sort of stress-free. So we need to see that the reasons why we don't have those things is because there's beliefs that are running us unconsciously that inadvertently create an experience that we have, and then we're caught up in believing that our life is against us because... All right, so this is a great point, because this has happened twice in the last couple of weeks. So we want to say that from now on, everybody who has a cell phone and it rings during service will voluntarily contribute $100. Wouldn't that be a good rule? Now, so that means that if you know of somebody who has their cell phone on, you should call them during service. This will go into love offering. Okay, she's going to take her call. I mean, she bought it. She bought her call. That's okay. That's right. That's okay. All right, so I digress. So whenever we are being with what we're having out of some limitation that is that we acquired, you know, in early childhood, we take on beliefs about ourselves that aren't in keeping with the truth because Mary and Joseph were our parents. So if you didn't grow up in a household that basically lifted your presence up as the one that's the child of God, as the Christ unto your world, you probably grew up in an environment that didn't mirror your wholeness and worth. And instead, circumstances were such where you took on beliefs about yourself. Well, these beliefs don't, when they run us, create the kind of experiences of lack, of separation, of inequality, of injustice. The things that we're witnessing on in the world are the consequences of the disconnect. And so we're going to want to look at our own experience of being not connected, which is in part what the in-between or the hell and hallway experience is about. We mentioned last time that that behavioral scientists, brain scientists, have tell us now that 95% of our experience is driven by our unconscious beliefs. 95%. And so you can have the 5% of you that's awake and aware want a greater good, but have the totality of your subconscious mind say no because you're living a belief that you're not enough or you're not okay. That's running at the core of your being. And so that's why it's so difficult to have a great intention, such as losing weight. Have you ever tried to lose weight before and not make it? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. When all of our good intentions are often sabotaged by those unconscious programs that run us. So we have to create a workaround. We have to first become conscious of those unconscious beliefs that run us. And we've already talked about one of the most powerful, easy ways to determine what is running you is just to look inside and see how you feel. If you feel kind of yucky, you're being run by an unconscious limiting belief. Every time. So we can, in any moment, awaken to the belief that is running us. And we can create a conscious practice in this regard. And we have. It's called the Q process. It helps us look at how we're feeling and determine the belief that is running behind the scenes that we're not conscious of. But when we become conscious of it, we have, in that moment, the opportunity to create a choice point where we can step out of that belief and decide who and what we've come here to be, which is what David's class is all about, and be able to do something differently. But that doesn't address the 95% of us that is still all in on who we are not, all in on I'm not okay, all in on I'm not good enough, all in on my presence doesn't matter. And so as we look at this, we can see that whenever we're in an in-between or in a place where transition is imminent, we have an opportunity to have access to those places within ourselves that normally we don't have access to because we're just so busy, caught up in how our life looks and feels. But in those moments when our life looks and feels as if it's not working for us, for whatever reason, when we're in this hallway experience, it's simply a mirror unto how we're being in that experience. And so our tendency when we're not focused on intentionally working a transformational process is to try to remedy our discomfort by having things be a certain way in the outer. Have you ever had to have things be a certain way in order to remedy your discomfort? And how has that worked for you? Okay, so that doesn't work. The only way we can remedy the discomfort is to arrive at a felt place of our own sense of wholeness and then focus on amplifying that and linking positive, helpful images. So let me just ask you this question. Why is it called hell in the hallway? Because it doesn't feel good, right? And so, for instance, can you see how when you don't feel good about things, it affects your thinking? But we don't sort of pay attention or remind ourselves that when we're thinking negatively, we don't think of our negative thought process or the worry feedback loop as a phenomenon of our conditioned mind. We just think are those thoughts, and those thoughts run us, and it creates a reality, and we think that's what we have as our experience. But when we recognize that our emotional felt state informs how we're thinking, then we can see that when I'm feeling yucky, I don't want to try to fix my life out of my sense of not enough or my sense of I don't measure up or I don't matter. Those feelings don't contribute to a coherent vision of what's possible. And so as I understand this, then part of what I need to focus on is, am I capable of feeling my way into a greater expression of myself, as opposed to look for evidence of my worth outside of myself before I can feel okay? You see, that's backwards. And we're trying to fix that kind of conditioned way our awareness works. So because we cannot have a feeling without creating a corresponding chemistry that begins to create an internal environment within which that chemistry informs our thinking, informs our state of anxiety and our state of well-being, because that's an inseparable process, we need to know that whenever we're in the feeling of something that is limiting or uncomfortable, that we have to begin to intervene and do an intervention on ourselves. The first thing that we need to do is ask ourselves, what must I believe about myself or the situation in order for me to have this feeling? And the moment that you begin that question, you disentangle from the external dynamic around which it appears that that feeling was brought forth. Because the reality is that while external situations can trigger us, that it's only a mirror to those places within ourselves where we're not connected to the truth of who and what we've come here to be. The problem is that we try to get God to change the way the mirror works. Have you ever tried to get God to change the way the mirror works in your life by trying to get God to change how your life looks and feels? Well, God's not going to change how our life looks and feels, because God knows that how our life looks and feels is not the problem. The problem is how we're being with what we're having. And as we focus on that, then the question next becomes, I feel not enough because I don't have enough money. Now, this is the way of the world. This is what the world teaches, and this is what we believe. Don't you feel your sense of not enough when you don't have enough money? I do. But you see, that's the problem. This is the problem, and here's the solution. I don't have enough money because I don't feel enough. Can you see that that's a different perspective that gives us access to what hinges in the whole equation as to what's happening in my life? What's happening in my life is contingent upon my feeling first, and then gathering evidence to support that belief that underlies that feeling. And you see, when we believe in our wholeness, our attention and awareness functions totally different than when we believe that we're not okay, or enough, or worthy. And so, another question, I feel like I don't measure up because I don't have the recognition I deserve. Anybody relate to that? I relate to that. I relate to that a lot. As a matter of fact, this has been a big challenge for me to really see that my sense of value and respect for my work lives within me, as opposed to the recognition that I might be searching for as the evidence that gives little Gary a sense that you're okay. But the other side of it is that I don't have the recognition I deserve because I feel inadequate. And that's what we have to see. That's what's missing in our life, is blocked because we're feeling something that's contrary to the truth of us. And we have to fix that, because that's not God's job. That's not what God does. God gives us the power to create a heaven out of hell or a hell out of heaven. You see. I feel unworthy because I don't have the perfect life partner. Anybody like that? Come on, all you folks who who are hanging out there. Yes, that's the truth. But here's the way out of the hallway. I don't have a perfect life partner because I feel unworthy. And so in our efforts to get to that door, you need to understand that if you're in the hallway and it's hell, and if you try to get out of the hallway because of how it feels there, and you inadvertently try to make it about having a different experience, like if you've kind of like if the door is changed, this is what happens in relationships. I'm an expert in failing in relationships. So what happens is that well, in the former life, I'm a recovering serial relationship killer. How's that sound? Okay, so every time I talk about my past wife experiences, Jane has to stand up and say, "He's not talking about me." So the point is that we can have a tendency is when we are sort of thrown into this in-between, a door is closed, our opinion is, well, I'll never do that one again. And then we go look for the exact opposite, in relationships anyway. Or I want one just like that. And then we try to replicate something that was taken away from us. Or we're pounding on the door trying to get back in. The point is that the exit has to be us meeting our future self that is operating from the sense of well-being and worth. So that's what gets us out of the hallway, a deeper connection to our own sense of our own sense of wellness, our own sense of wholeness, our own sense of knowing that we're worthy. So that means I must first feel more than enough, my more than enoughness, before I can have the outer experience of abundance. I must first feel worthy before I can have the outer experience that evokes well-being. I must first feel capable before I can have the outer experience of measuring up. Does this make sense? Because this is critical. And when you leave here today, it's going to be easy for you to kind of slip away from keeping that awareness. Because you want to focus on what it feels like, not just to have an experience of a greater good, but what it feels like to be more than enough, to be worthy. When you are in the experience of feeling what it's like to be worthy, what are the possibilities that are now accessible to you that aren't in a different state? And so the trick is, how can we condition our awareness to sustain an elevated felt sense that is linked to a image or a concept of our well-being and worth? That's the effort. That's what we have to figure out. So if we can create a way in which we can practice feeling into our new self that is constructed around the context of the principle, we're already given everything that we need in the context of our wholeness, our well-being and worth. And what we need to do now is to unleash that in the context of beliefs that unbridle that passion and that purpose. And so what must we believe about ourselves in order to invoke a feeling that we're more than enough? And so what helps us do this is what I'm passionate about this, so let me just say that I feel that the most powerful way to work this part of the process that deals with moving ourselves energetically into alignment with our future self, our higher self that is calling us to itself, is through mind movies. Because the technology of mind movies help us retrain our whole body to create the chemistry of the felt sense of our more than enoughness. And so I'm going to share with you my mind movie that I've been using for the last 6 months. And for those of you who have been around for the last 6 months and who've observed me, you probably have noticed that things have been changing for Dr. Gary. He's showing up in different ways. How many of you can sort of see evidence of that happening? So many of you, those of you who are new, obviously don't know that. But I got to tell you that working this particular aspect of the transformative process yields tremendous results. I have felt like I have grown in the last 6 months far more quickly than I have in the last 20 years. Basically, that's it. So here's my mind movie, and then I'll say a few things afterwards and tell you about how you can have your very own, if that's of interest to you. What's that?
You have your airplane already done because you showed it up there.
No, nothing in that video is already done.
Oh,
all that's of...
The airplane that you're building.
Right, it's not finished yet. I still have to get my wings. So as I mentioned, the movie are pictures of what I'm wanting to experience as a desired future, but more importantly, creates the felt sense of how I want to feel when those things are brought into being. Now, it's less about bringing those things into being, more about wanting to feel a connection to my sense of well-being and worth, knowing that I'm worthy of that. I'm worthy of those things that I've asked the universe to support me in experiencing, because they unleash my purpose and passion. And so this is important for us to understand that we're not trying to create a gimmick in which we can have more stuff. We're trying to align our being, our body, mind, to energetically to this field of abundance. And we want to experience what happens when we limit our limiting beliefs from being active in our consciousness. And as I mentioned already, I'm experiencing the powerful benefits of this. There's two times of the day that are important to watch your mind movie. That's when you wake up, first thing, and when before you go to bed. So the portal to your subconscious mind is opened at that time. And then to practice being in those feelings. So whenever I find myself emotionally altered by what I'm experiencing, I first identify the limiting belief if it's negative, and then I ask myself, what do I want to feel? What do I want to believe about this situation, about myself instead? And I immediately address that. I don't let it wait. And that's the key. Now, I've heard said that John Sanders, his mind movie, had the Zags winning the... and so he believes that it's his movie that's responsible for this win. And good job, John. And so here's my vision. My vision is anybody who wants a mind movie, we want to help you acquire your very own. And we have a team of those who are trained. Our Mind Movie production team members have volunteered to help co-create your movies. We already have probably around 40 movies, 40, 45 movies created by people in our church. And the goal is everyone, because it lends itself to not only giving everyone their own high-tech tool that they can upload on a device and have it with them as a reminder that these principles are you're practicing, but it's also a way in which not only can we as individuals experience a greater sense of well-being and worth in the process of it, but once we learn this tool, then we'll create a mind movie for the future of this ministry, you see, and all the things that this ministry needs that, you know, this facility is kind of in the hallway in some respects. So there's all kinds of potential that this has for creating a sustainable future for us. And this is just one aspect of what also it appeals to the millennials. I mean, you know, part of our desire is to make sure our community is vibrant. And we need the energy of youth in our midst. And this technology, they're all over this. And so we want to leverage this and have the young people in our ministry teach us how to align with that which can move us forward in our lives. So this is a global project that we hope that you partake of. Now, this afternoon, after I stop talking, after we finish up, we'll have in here our mind movie workshop for our congregation. Those of you who want to have your own mind movie, you need to learn about what's needed from you in order for these people to partner with you and help create your movie. And we're also talking about looking at spirit groups as being a vehicle for mind movie creation as well. So we'll have more to say about that in the workshop. Now, if you're not able to come to the workshop, no worries, because this is not going to go away. Just like the art and practice is not going away. Spirit groups is not going away. Mind movies is not going away. It's just that until you catch the vision of it, it's not going to mean much to you. But you need to know that there's power in whatever you do that really begins to alter your body-brain chemistry that enables you to use your cognitive faculties and your prayer life and your meditation practice in a way that can transcend whatever outer difficulty or issue you're facing. So that's all I have to say. Stay tuned. And by the way, last thing I want to say is that I don't want to convey an oversimplification of the dynamics that are important to honor and respect in the context of being in the hallway. What I want to emphasize is that I'm speaking about just one application of what we can be doing actively to make a difference with respect to our own experience. But there's so much more that we need to discuss. And Jane and I have been talking about how we can further deepen your understanding of these dynamics, as well as give you very powerful tools to really work the system. And so this is a tag team match between Jane and I. And I'm tagging it off to her, and she is going to have the next iteration of deepening this principle with you. So stay tuned, stay connected. If you miss us Sunday, listen to us online. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that rocked.